weeks ago came out a Pew study, 2020. What is the state of the American Jewry in 2020? A big study. I have a question for you. How many Jews are in America?
8 million.
Okay, you say 8 million. What do you guys say? Anybody else an opinion?
6 million.
Okay. So you say 6 million? What do you think?
Seven million.
Kosov, what do you think? You have to give an opinion. I don't care if you know or you don't.
Okay, 12 million.
12 million. What do you think, Gogat?
Seven.
In the new study, there is 7.5 million Jews.
Ooh, you were close.
Truth is, I was so excited. Whoa, so many Jews. You know why I was excited? Because in 2013, there was another Pew study. This is the second Pew study. It's called the organization, I think it's called Pew. Then that time there was 6.7 million. Now suddenly 7.5 million Jews. Wow, we're growing so much. Isn't this amazing?
Yeah. The Orthodox.
But in my imagination, I already saw thousands of Jews running to shul, dancing on Simchas Torah, supporting Israel, going to the rallies. That's what I was thinking. The reality is, then I read other numbers that didn't add up. Something was missing. Because, for example, the couples who got married in the last decade, between 2010 and 2020, 61% of the Jewish couples were intermarried. The decade before that, between 2000 and 2010, it was only 45%. Obviously, there is more intermarriage. And now could be that the Jewish people are going. Number two, the birth rate of the Jewish people is shrinking. The all America is shrinking. The birth rate in the Jewish community is double shrinking. Yeah. Whatever, it's 10% in the non-Jewish community, it's 20% in the Jewish community. Whatever it's for, it's 25% in the non-Jewish community, it's 44%. Double, everything double. Then the birth rate is shrinking. The intermarriage is growing. And I didn't hear lately that a million Jews came from Russia to America between 2013 and 2020. Obviously, something is not working here. The numbers don't make sense. Always the answer is in the fine print. Who is considered a Jew for the study? Everyone. You don't have to be, if your mother Jewish, don't have to be your father Jewish, you don't have to have a Jewish spouse, you don't have to have a Jewish second cousin. Anybody who says he's Jewish is Jewish. The truth is, I was a little disappointed. If everyone who says Jewish is Jewish, I thought it would be more than 7.5 million. I thought they are more popular in America to be, there are more people who want to be considered Jewish. And obviously that's called in English, cooking the books. They changed the criteria and suddenly we have more Jews. We don't have more Jews. But I'll give you some other, other finding from this. They asked one of the question what, and they give you a few answers. What brings you meaningfulness and fulfillment? What gives you meaningful thing, and what is giving you fulfillment? The number one they choose, most of the people choose number one box, is spending time with family and friend. What do you think was number two for fulfillment? And finding meaningful to yourself to do it. What do you think number two was? No, my friend, what is number two? What gives you fulfillment, my dear friend?
Children.
That's what I said, spending time with family and friend. That was number one. What's
learning.
Number two? Huh?
Learning.
You say learning. Very good, Stein. I'm very impressed. Very impressed. But most of the American Jews, you know what number two was?
Working.
Spending time with your pets.
With what?
I love my dog so much. It gives me so much fulfillment. Really? That was number two. Only 20% said that their Judaism, learning, praying, things like this gives them fulfillment. That was number, that's not 20% of the Jews said. But that was family. Truth is, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought number one would be pets, animals. And it's number two, it's already an achievement. And number three was Judaism. Then was, what is Jewish in your eyes? What is a Jewish character? What makes a person, what is Jewish? Being Jewish means to you. Then more people choose, 34% chose the category having a sense of humor. 14% chose to do something Jewish, to observe mitzvot a little bit. But having a sense of humor means to be Jewish. I didn't know that, now I know. Over 50% said that they don't care, that they care more. They don't care if the grandchildren will marry out of the faith, but they care to which political, if they should belong to the same political camp that they belong. Yeah. Who they're going to marry, if it's going to be a conservative or a liberal or a Democrat, is more important than if the grandchild marry a Jew or not. Wow. Because religion became politics became a religion. Now we'll go further, just to make you happy. 12% of American Jews go to synagogue, to services once a week. In the non-Jewish community, it's 27%.
Go to church.
Go to church, yes.
They're not going to synagogue.
Yeah, they're going to services. 20% of American Jews said that that religion is important to them. 41% of the non-Jewish community says that religion is important to them. Double. Everything good, the non-Jewish community is double the numbers. Birth rate, as I mentioned before, 20% of Jewish women from the age of 40 to 60 are childless. From 40 to 60. In the non-Jewish community, it's 10% do not have children. The difference is in 10%. By us, it's 20%, by them, it's 10%. From 18 to 40 to 39, in the Jewish community, 55% of the Jewish women do not have children. Where the non-Jewish community, it's only 44% who do not have children between the age of 18 and 40. Again, when everything is bad, the Jewish community, it's double bad. But there is only one good news. One good news, amazing news. Chabad. And one of five says they're going to Chabad on a regular basis, not Orthodox, not only conservative, not only Reform, even unaffiliated. And like 60% or something, if I understood correct, went a little bit to Chabad. There's a connection with Chabad. The whole Pew study was worth it only for this result. Why I'm telling you? To depress you? The first answer is yes. Why should I be the only one depressed? Am I pain with you? You should be depressed with me. I sit myself and get all anxious and anxiety. You share it with others, then now you have anxiety, I can sleep good. But the real answer is more than that. I heard a story last week. In the 1970s in Jerusalem was a neighborhood of low-income citizens who were of Jewish citizens, Sephardi Jews. It's called Neve Yaakov, I think it was low-income, I'm not sure. And they built a mikveh there. Used to be a dilapidated mikveh, they built a beautiful mikveh. And it was a lot of effort, the community, the government, the government pays for these things. Showing they built a mikveh, they made a big celebration, showing all's good and fine. A week later, the mikveh lady knocks on the door of the office of the chief rabbi of Jerusalem. She tells him, Rabbi, why you build a mikveh? What a waste of money. He looks at her and says, what happened? He says, nobody, a whole week, not one person came to the mikveh. So you better spend all the money, nothing. It's a waste of money. Next time, don't do this. Chief Rabbi was shocked. He was in the same building. It's the office rabbinat of all the Chief Rabbi of Israel was in the same building. He comes over to his office, he knocks on the door, he gets up, he goes straight to his office, to the Sephardi chief rabbi of Israel. That was the Ashkenazi chief rabbi of Jerusalem. And that was the Sephardi chief rabbi of Israel, was Ovadia Yosef, a famous rabbi. And he comes and he tells him the story. He says, here's the mikveh lady. She says, nobody went to the mikveh all week. And the chief rabbi looks at him and tells him, like, what do you want from me? What can I do about it? He tells him, me and you are going to go from door to door to convince the women to go to the mikveh. He tells him, what? He tells him, I'm a chief rabbi. I go to speak to women. It's not nice. It's not modest. I need to tell them this. I have a better idea. My wife and your wife will go from door to door. The other rabbi was insisting that no. You and me are going from door to door. Don't throw it on your wife. You go, and I will go with you. The rabbi insisted. He had no choice. He had to agree. Then the Israeli city hall type of thing, called special section there, called every, they live in apartment buildings, every home, and told them the two chief rabbis are going to expect a visit on the two chief rabbis. Right? Said they came in, people accepted them with so much covet and respect, and they told them, and they start to speak about the mitzvah of mikveh, how important it is, and when the children are born after mikveh, they are nicer, kinder, they're healthier spiritually, psychologically, physically, on and on. And many women who never went to the mikveh told them, Rabbi, I promise you I'll go to the mikveh. One after the other, and they went, one night they went this, and then another night, a third night. And 2 weeks passed, mikveh lady comes back, whole smiling. People are going to the mikveh. And he said he went from door to door. They went to, they were not young people. They were in the 70s. Because it was such, and people thought to themselves, if such important rabbis came to my house to speak about it, obviously it's a very important thing. Then the rabbi who shared the story, this chief rabbi of Israel, passed away. I saw a video, he shared the story. He turns to the people there and he says, guys, every one of us can influence people to do more Jewish things. You see another Jew, somebody is having a celebration. Many times people ask me, what am I going to buy him a present? They have everything. Buy him a mezuzah. Even if they have on the front door a mezuzah, they will have on the second door a mezuzah. On the third door a mezuzah. Need a mezuzah on every door. On the bedroom, we'll bring him a little more peace at home. Be less fight. On the children's door with the kids will be healthier. Every door, you can get by somebody mezuzah. It's a beautiful gift. And I can assure you, then don't worry. Nobody has too many mezuzahs in his house. You'll never be wrong. You can buy him a candlestick. You can invite him for a Friday night dinner. You can speak to him to send the kids to Jewish preschool. Something. There is all everyone. Nobody should say, oh, they will never listen to me. Who am I to tell them what to do? They will listen to you. And you know, on Mount Sinai, we are just coming from Shavuos. And God gave the Torah to the Jewish people. We became one family. We became responsible for each other. We cannot say, it's not my business. It's your business. You know, you go on cruises, right? From time to time, my friend, you went on enough cruises in your life. I never was on a cruise, but I was on a boat here and there for 5 minutes. If somebody has in his own room, he will make a hole in his boat. He says, it's only my problem. Don't bother me. I can do a hole in my boat. It's my room, right? I paid for it. Look today with the global warming, with the climate change. People say, I can do whatever I want. You want to be protected to global? You be protected. It's not your business what I do. You cannot say it. Why? Because that you do and I do and he do, we are all dependent on each other. In Judaism, it's like global warming, my friend. It's like climate change. Whatever happens to you, affects me. Whatever I do affects you. We are all in the same boat. In the olden days, you have to give an example from a boat. Now we can give a good, better example of climate change. However, we are all dependent on each other. And a million things are dependent on each other. Then we have to take the responsibility for care for each other. That's the news of the Pew studies.